I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're not going to have to wait long before my name is called.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH. Kansas Fan Headquarters, 97.5 and 1240 KFH Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Hey Wichita, it's Jacob Albrock. Stay right there for the latest breaking in sports talk. It's Sports Daily, coming up next, exclusively on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Jim Rome here with your Rome Report. Per usual, did the Knicks choke last night in the Garden, or did the Atlanta Hawks rip Game 2 from them? And per usual, the answer is yes. You blow a 14-point lead at home, miss that many open shots, clank that many free throws, and fail to take care of the rock, then yes, of course, they went into the tank. But credit CJ McCollum for turning back the clock and going off for 32. Jonathan Kuminga for coming off the bench and catching fire, and head coach Quinn Snyder for turning Mike Brown inside out. And yes, Brown is catching a lot of heat today for having his two best players, Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns, on the bench for two long stretches. And no, that doesn't make any sense, but it's not like those two were doing enough when they were on the floor. No one who matters thought the Knicks would get out of the Eastern Conference this year anyway, but asking them to get out of the first round is not too much to ask. Or with this crew, maybe it actually is. I'm Jim Rome. And remember, you can follow me on Instagram at Jim Rome. Jim Rome here. True story. I married the best person I've ever met, Janet. And not only that, but the best mother I know. So would it not stand a reason that I would get her the very best gift for Mother's Day? Aura Frames. What an absolutely amazing product. I love it so much. And more importantly, she does. Save on gifts that moms love at AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, get $25 off the Carver Mat Frame. That's the one we have. You have to use the code Rome, R-O-M-E. Support the show by mentioning that Jim Rome Show at checkout. Terms and conditions do apply. AuraFrames.com.
For nearly 2,000 severely injured veterans, everyday life has become filled with barriers. So we build specially adapted homes at Homes for Our Troops. And thanks to our donors and supporters, this life-changing gift of freedom is provided mortgage-free to these veterans. But we need you to join us, too, in completing this important mission. Please visit HFOTUSA.org. And help build homes and rebuild lives.
Book them now.
Really? I mean, is that going to be a thing now?
You like it? Thanks, Ketchy.
What are you looking at? Go.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Ah. Aloha, Mr. Hyde.
Welcome in, everybody. Glad to be here with you. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland. It is a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday, and we are having some fun here on Sports Daily. Rocking and rolling. It's a busy Wednesday. We've got the NFL draft now just one day away. We have portal movement, sort of, to get to. The Royals have won a game, and we've got friends in to help us get through it all. We'll have Joshua Briscoe in to preview the Chiefs draft. We'll have Shreyas Lotta in to talk the latest with KU. We've got you in to help us. 869-1240 is the phone number to call. You can also reach us via our video streams on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. Glad to be here with you this morning in all of those places. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected as well and listening to us on the Odyssey app. All of the great stuff coming your way this morning is what's on tap. Brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring Caddy Snack, Wichita's golf beer. Caddy Snack Blonde Ale, refreshingly crushable, makes the perfect pairing from the first tee to the 19th hole, no matter the score. Caddy Snack reminds you to beer the ball. Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. TJ, good morning. How are you?
The grass is greener, the sky's bluer, Jacob. The streak is over.
The streak is over.
Walk now around with a little bit of pep in your step today, Royals fans. You're allowed to, what time is the game today? Is it a 2 o'clock game?
It's a 1 o'clock game, I think.
Is it a day game? All right. You've got about, what, 5 hours to walk around with a little pep in your step before you may get let down again. But for now, they're winners in the most wild way fashion that you could have last night. That game
sometimes,
was awesome.
Sometimes to exercise the demons, you got to work real hard. And they did last night. It was two different comebacks, a blown lead, and a walk-off wild pitch. But, you know,
Sometimes, Jacob, baseball paints a picture that only sickos like you and I can enjoy. Like when you have the non-baseball fan watch it, they're like, why are the scores 2-1? Like there was no home runs, a sack fly. Like, what are we watching here? And then like last night, that's the one that you turn on or it's like, you want to learn about baseball, watch this game. It's good stuff last night.
It really was like a true, like, you're going to have to pull out all the stops to win a game and end this streak.
I mean, it's literally every loss that they had in this streak felt like it was the most unimaginable way. Not unimaginable because we've seen it, but like it was unbelievable. Like, you know, people, I've made the point multiple times about like a string of bad luck only means a string of bad luck till it becomes a trend. But like how many late game leads can you blow? Like, it's hard to do that.
It's hard to do it. They've done it. In this win streak, they have blown leads of some kind. I believe they said last night in the broadcast, 6 of the 8 games, they've had leads at some point in those games. They're just, look, when it's going wrong like that, everything falls apart, and we saw it in just about every way you could see it. And lo and behold, this time, they come back a couple of different times. You get to the 9th inning, and you feel like they had this golden opportunity and they almost blow it again and they get a wild pitch score on that. And it's like, all right, it's over. We're done. Let's get the hell out of here and go home. Like, no more. We can't. They can't take this one from us. Let's go. Let's leave. Let's start over, whatever. But they get it done. It was the most like rage inducing win ever. Like we're in that position and it felt like they were going to screw it up in the 9th.
Yeah.
Back to back walks to start the inning. And you're just like, there is no way. Like they're gonna not capitalize here, and they're gonna come up and give a 3-run home run up. John Schreiber's gonna come in the 10th and give up a 3-run bomb, and they're gonna lose again.
They brought Strawman, who gave up a run the other day, I believe, and it was like, well, come on, Strom, like show us you're worth something here, and then gave up the run, obviously, and then they bring Ursae again, and it's like, okay, it's tie game because that's Massey at the home run, and then it's leadoff walk to start the inning, and I'm like, son of a gun, what is going on? Then he got a double play. So all is well. But
All is well. All is well. Now they can start a win streak.
Now they're going to move.
Now they're going to move places. That's the big news.
Is there a big hunk of irony? Or maybe not irony, but like, is it perfect that we sat here and said that, like, man, they want a bunch of public money to move downtown and do all this stuff, and they're losing a bunch of baseball games, and they're going to announce it on the heels of coming off of a win, one win in 10 days?
I imagine John Sherman's had a little butt puckering. I imagine
That would suck to have to go to that press conference today where it's presumed that they'll announce that stadium and have to sit there and say, like, thank you, the city, for giving us $600 million and have to answer the questions about why is your team so terrible right now?
Yeah. Why is Matt Quatraro bunting in the 6th against a struggling pitcher, John? Why do you think that's happening? Why do you guys keep giving the ball to John Schreiber in key situations late in the game, John?
Yeah. John, do you imagine there's a world where John Schreiber pitches in this new ballpark?
No. That far down the road in 2031?
2030 is what Mayor Q says. 2030. Four years.
Okay. 2030.
No, John Schreiber will not be pitching in that ballpark.
Of the current roster.
I bet a good chunk. It's different than the Chiefs. Like, I feel like the Royals will have. I mean,
Michael Garcia, Bobby Witt Jr., Jack Caglione would Vinny be my best mark. Guess.
Yeah. Vinny question
at,
mark.
And Carter Jensen would be my best guess at who will be remaining.
Yeah.
And I can't even of the starting pitchers.
I mean, you could say Noah Cameron, but he's an old rookie.
I'd like to say Cole Reagans, but
yeah,
I don't know. Chris Bubich, I think, is going to get traded.
Daniel Lynch is still kind of young, right?
Yeah, but he's got a lot of years of service.
True.
Like, you know, Daniel Lynch, by the way, needs to be an option in the 8th or 9th inning. He looks really good this year. We'll get into all of that. We've got draft talk coming with Joshua Briscoe. We've got KU talk coming as well. TJ, I watched about 12 minutes of a playoff game last night in the NBA. I put on Lakers Rockets right after I saw the end of the Spurs game, which was pretty great. Missed shot to win it. Put on the Rockets Lakers, and I was tuned in for most of the first quarter.
I had backup, television on in the background of the Spurs game. But I saw the Wimby injury. That's freaking terrifying.
That's horrible.
Tall of a dude going down that fast.
It's horrible. Also,
I saw somebody say, is like, he's entered concussion protocol. It's like, well, yeah, we figured about the concussion. Is his jaw broken? Look how hard he hit the floor.
It's a long way to fall. Yeah. But that's also happening. We've got all kinds of fun stuff today. Man, that by the way, as the Royals snap out of theirs, the Mets do not. Now up to 12-game losing streak. For
Royals aren't the worst team in baseball.
The second highest payroll in baseball.
That's so brutal.
Soto,
there's a conversation about Soto's missed like 2 weeks with that injury that he had. And it was like a tweak of something. Like it wasn't a drastic thing or something. And now it's like, man, you are getting paid more than anybody in baseball. Like, can you play? When are we going to be able to do
get
this?
Get out there. Yeah, I look at that and it reminds me, and like it should remind all of us, and this is where Royals fans can maybe find their solace. The problem with the Royals is some of the issues have now been plaguing them since the second half of 2024. But yep. Baseball's weird, man. Baseball, weird things happen. Again, I've said this before, like if we're in August, if the Royals play about like we expect them to this year and we're in August and they lose 7 games in a row, we're annoyed. But we're not panicking. This is panic time because it's April. But they snap out of it last night. We'll look ahead to the rest of the series, the rest of the week with them as well. Let's delve in to a little bit of the news of the day. There's actually a few portal things we need to mention. So maybe we get into that off the top here. We'll get into Chiefs talk. We've got all kinds of fun stuff coming on Sports Daily on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Happy Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday to all those who celebrate.
Sports Radio KFH.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. There are no major issues. Just be aware of construction on I-135 northbound at Kellogg. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Weather. Good morning. Cloudy skies will eventually clear out this afternoon. Strong south winds, 15 to 25 and gusty, and a high of 73. Clouds come right back in tonight. Breezy and mild overnight, low 62. Clearing skies, windy and warm on Thursday with a high of 83, but thunderstorms are likely during the evening. Those could be strong, if not severe. Mostly sunny and really nice on Friday, high 77. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Right now,
the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
I don't think Joker wins another MVP. And it's not because he's not deserving. He's just not going to win it. And Wemby is on the way. Because I would be surprised if Wemby is not the favorite next year to win the MVP. Felt like it might be a little too early this year. He did miss games earlier in the season. He's wonderful to watch. We're lucky to be treated to some... These players, young players, now Joker's not young, but he's still doing things that nobody's ever done. Like when you hear that in any sport, when you go, well, nobody's ever done that. Okay, you got my attention. And I understand this because we do want a new topic. You know, the NBA writers are no different than me or you as a fan where you go, you know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Odyssey Sports Draft coverage is presented nationally by Bet365, where winning is everything. Download the Bet365 app and lock in your picks before the game begins. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in select states only. And by Liberty Mutual Insurance. Only pay for what you need.
This is an Odyssey Sports Minute.
The Mets losing ways continued on Tuesday. They fell 5-3 to the Twins, making it 12 in a row that they've now lost. They at least got some good news that Juan Soto is going to return later on this afternoon. He's back in the lineup for the Mets, but 12 in a row with a payroll as high as the Mets have. You've got so many players that you're paying a substantial amount of money and they can't win. I don't know how Steve Cohen does it.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here. It is a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. We're glad to be with you on this Wednesday. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care, celebrating 60 years in Wichita, providing expert lawn care for a healthy lawn, tree and shrub care, and bed weed control since 1966. Longhofer Lawn and Tree Care. Appreciate their support here on Sports Daily as we make our way through one day, just one day, until the NFL draft. We get ready for the Chiefs to perhaps pick 9, perhaps trade up. Lots of different things happening in this. There are pretty wide-ranging opinions on the rankings of these players and where the Chiefs may end up wanting to go. I try to check as many of these publications as I can, and there just isn't a lot of consensus, TJ, outside of the fact that most people really like Arvell Reese, they really like David Bailey, they really like Jeremiah Love. And then it gets, you know, I think people really like Caleb Downs, but he's a safety. And you kind of have a lot of different opinions. I'm looking at one from Mike Renner, who is a guy, CBS Sports. He's got Reuben Bain Jr. as the second best player in this draft. He's got him ahead of Arvell Reese. He's got ahead of David Bailey. So there's no consensus here. We got to remember.
I think so. The thing I thought about the other day, you know, the old cliche in the draft is that once the quarterbacks go in 1, 2, 3 or whatever it is, then it's all like, all right, well, the official draft starts now. And like, really, like, we don't know who's going number two. Like, it's true that I think that as you go into it, like, we'll have guesses, but like, are you shocked? Like, who do you think is going number two? Bailey?
No, I think Reese will go number two.
I was gonna say, it's like I've seen Bailey there, and you know, so who
knows? I think most mocks, because most of the reporting from the Jets is they really like Reese. Bailey's got his flaw of not having a good reputation as a run stopper. But I think, you know, in a lot of places, that's okay. Like you can do different things around that. You're looking for the pass rusher. I mean, pressure on a quarterback is such a hot commodity in the NFL. But yeah, you've got mixed opinions there. The only three players I think that are pretty universally considered awesome, like awesome, awesome. And I think Bailey's probably there, but let's say he's not, because a guy I just looked at him as a 20. It's two, because Mendoza's going one because Mendoza's the quarterback. It's Reese and it's Jeremiah Love. But Love plays a strange position. It's going to be fun, I hope, for that reason, because we don't have quarterbacks here. And that's really what drives our entertainment value of these drafts. I say it. I'm looking at two drafts now that I have Bailey 2 and Reese 3. And all this stuff matters because of the smoke around the Chiefs' interest to trade up. And I would be stunned if there wasn't, right? If the Chiefs weren't looking at that very seriously, because the hardest thing to find sits there at potentially 2 and 3, and you've got 2 first round picks. You got to make those calls. You have to make those calls. And those teams are going to try to hold them over the fire right now. But when it comes down to it, and it's pick 3, and the Cardinals are sitting there, and they're like, man, we really like so many of these players. that's where, if you're the Chiefs, you just be ready for the possibility to go up and get somebody. Yeah, or they pick two players and they'll be fine.
I think it's so interesting is that, you know, we're looking at this through a Chiefs lens, obviously, but like, you know, because they may want to trade up to three, but like if they like Bailey, do they need to trade up to two? Like, and then that's going to happen literally all over the league. Like Brett Veach talked about this, and it was one of the more interesting things that he said the other day is that like the draft is the pool is so interesting this year, like you're saying, because there's no quarterbacks that like there. It's such a weird way of trying to evaluate. Like, how much better is Bailey than Carnell Tate? How much better is Jeremiah Love than Delaney? Like, you could say like 2 through 20 are all going to be kind of in that same little echelon a little bit. Like, there's mock drafts and we see where we think guys will go based on what we've seen reported and fits and things like that, but like the drop off between pick 2 and pick 10, like there isn't much. That's what he was saying, and so he thinks that there's going to be more trades than there really ever has been, and it's not because like we need to trade up to go get that high end talent, like the Chiefs trading up to get Patrick Mahomes, perfect example. Like, that isn't what it's going to be this year. It'll be like, man, like I have no idea when this guy is going to go. We should just go get it. Like David Bailey could, or one of those guys could
I'm
fall.
I'm looking at Mel Kiper now. So I'm the four mocks I've looked at this morning. So there must be some reporting happening here that Bailey's going to the Jets at 2. Yesterday or the day before, it was consensus that it was Arvell Reese going to the Jets at 2. I'm with you. What is the difference between 2 and 9? I don't know. And, you know, Mendoza, I don't think people think Mendoza is the best player in this draft. He's just going number one overall. So really, we look at the whole thing. And by the way, like, it's not always, like, we're not always right at this part of the draft either. People like to joke of like, oh, you know, the first round are all going to be Hall of Famers. Ha, 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 ha. No, but the early first round, like, your chances of getting star players are higher, I think, when you go outside a quarterback, even though it's true for quarterback too. But you know, if there's a reason people really like all these players, because they look like they're going to be highly productive NFL players. Either they were highly productive in college, either they have the traits and the measurables. I do tend to lean into production a little bit, which is, you know, the Bane case for him is, at some point, just watch him play, and he was great. But the Chiefs have been bitten by that a little bit in the past, right? Watch Felix Anudike Uzama play college football. There weren't very many edge rushers that disrupted games more than he did. And sometimes you do have to look at those things that concern scouts. And then there's the old backup plans for the Chiefs. And the good thing for the Chiefs, I think, TJ, is they have a million backup plans. Oh, you know what? We take Jordan Tyson there, fine. Oh, you know what? We take right tackle there. Fine. Mansoor Delane, fine. We kind of need that anyway. They do have a lot of options. Ton of options. Because they have a lot of needs, but they're in a good position. They're in a good position to draft where they are. They're in a good position to trade down. They have what it would take to trade up. Like, they really do have the ammo to pretty much do whatever they want.
It feels like it's, you know, for that reason, the Chiefs are in a spot where they literally take will take anybody. But, like, the Cardinals aren't. Like, I think that's what we've been talking about and why that's so intriguing and why that makes so much sense is that if you're the Cardinals, like, you can say, like, man, we can move back to 9. That's fine with us. Like, sure, why not? Like, because they're not. Yeah. But the Chiefs, it makes sense. If you want to move up, if you want to take anybody, you might as well trade up and take one of the best ones that you think.
Chiefs are closer to a Super Bowl than the Cardinals, right?
That too.
The Cardinals could sit there. I still am not convinced they won't sit there and be like, man, Jeremiah Love's too good. Let's just bring in Jeremiah Love and make our offense with he and the receivers they have and Jacoby Brissett's competent. Let's just do that. And they need help on defense, but they can get help on defense. Like, at some point, because to me, like, he's that dude as far as like who's going to come in and have the least chance to fail in the NFL. I would say Love fits that profile. I would say Caleb Downs fits that profile. I think David Bailey fits that profile. It's hard to me to be that dominant in college and not at least be good. That's probably it for me. Carnell Tate, I probably would put in that set. Like, the chances of of Tate not being good. Tate's probably a safer pick than Tyson. Tyson, I think, has more upside. But there's plenty of options for the Chiefs. They can do just about anything tonight, and I'll be happy. What's going to scare me is if they do that Chiefs thing they've done from time to time, and they reach on a player. Or if they took, like, Kenyon Sadiq, I'd be disappointed. If they... What would be another example of this? If they took the, Denzel Boston, like one of these receivers further down the board, like who would freak you out a little bit? There doesn't seem like there's going to be a player if they pick at nine where we're like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you said yesterday that, like, you know, this is elementary draft stuff, but, like, here's 10 guys. Don't draft outside of these guys. Make your pick on who you want here. But, like, and that's what, again, elementary draft strategy here. Like, having the ninth pick is a much easier pick to make than the 29th pick or the 32nd pick because
you get,
like, maybe guys. One guy will fall.
Right.
If you're picking 32, you have no idea. Like yeah. Josh Simmons could have gone at 16 last year.
I think running the draft would be one of the most fun things you could do in sports because you also have to think whatever you do at nine is going to impact you at 29. So you have to have all these scenarios play out in hypotheticals. Exactly. Like if we went this direction at nine, what does that then mean at 29? If we went this other direction at nine, what does that mean at 29? Can we attack this position? But at the end of the day, and we've heard the term used, and I believe it, and when this all started and we knew they were going to pick this high, I 100% believe, like, you just have to take the best player at nine. You can't screw up nine. You never get to pick this high if you're the Chiefs. You probably won't get to anymore. At least you're not planning on it. Get the player that's the best player. You'll find a place for them to play, right? Like, this pick needs to help them open their new stadium. You're picking in the top 10. You don't ever get to do that. Who's the player that is going to be taking the reins from Chris Jones, Travis Kelce someday soon? Like, who is that dude when you pick there? That's why, like, the reach play gets a little dicier for me. That's where if it's Caleb Downs, I'm like, you know what? That's just fine. That dude is a great football player. Great. Fine, you'll figure out a way to use him. Whereas you get into some of these other spots, you're like, I don't know about that. Like, what are we doing here? We're picking 10. Make that pick with 29. If you like some player that some others may grade as a second or third rounder, take that dude at 29. But at nine, you got to get it right. You got to get it right. We'll see what Joshua Briscoe thinks about it in just a little bit.
Running the draft seems awful, by the way. Running the draft, running a draft room on draft night, if I was in those shoes, that seems like an impossible task.
I think it'd be so fun.
I'm awful in fantasy drafts about, like, because we do untimed rookie drafts in our leagues that we do, which are the best way to do this, by the way. Untimed drafts are the best. Take your time. We don't need to do this for a while. Or slow that. Rollers. You get like an hour. Like, those are the best.
Oh, God. I need more. I need 3 seconds to make my picks.
No, I need to think about
it. You act like you haven't been thinking about it before.
Well, if it's your first round pick, you can go fast. But then it gets, like I'm saying here, is that what happens if somebody takes your guy, and then you're doing this, and then you want to make trades. It's like, I don't want this. Who wants this pick? And you need everybody to lock in and be like, all right, I can't do that in a 3-minute span.
In fantasy football.
Oh, it does. You're in the wrong leagues, and I need time. I need time to run my trade board.
Look, it's TJ again. Everybody, you got 5 minutes. Just take a break here. Everybody go get a beer. He's going to take this timer down to four before he makes his pick here. I draft fantasy sports like I play golf. Like, what are we doing here? Let's get up there and go. Like, why are we waiting? I already waited around. It's time to go. In the NFL, yes, they do need to weather out trades for sure. TJ, real quick, we'll pivot in segment here because we have a lot to cover today. Transfer portal news. There's quite a few, and we all have headlines we missed too, but we can't wait for Paul Mbia until headlines we missed. That's the big one for us that we'll get into, and we'll have more with Shreya Slada later. But I guess it's at least good to get that out of the way, because KU still doesn't have much to work with. And like it got to the point where, boy, I sure hope they can get Paul Mbia back. And they do. He's back.
They do. On the buzzer of the portal closing, and Shreya's story that he's talking about, he'll talk to us about that. Like, strong words were used about, you know, money can't buy my loyalty and all those things. So it's cool that he's coming back. I still don't know, Jacob. We'll ask Shreya this. I don't know if he's going to be a starting center or not next year. Like, right now he is, because there's nobody else. But, like, I wonder if, like, if you're picking between, you know, Bonk or him, like, I don't know who you're making that decision. I think he's better than Bonk, but I don't know if we've had this discussion.
You're going to be surprised.
I know.
With NBA next year.
I'm sure he's going to be awesome. Yeah. His tape was really good in Europe. But, like, to NBA's credit, this holdout, which we roll our eyes at about the fact of, like, the reporting of, like, he wants to come to KU, but his agents are just making sure that he's got the right compensation. That makes us like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't make me. It's what his agents are supposed to do.
But then you look at it from, like, things that they're saying. It's true. Is that, like, listen, if every person that's ever signed a contract, you know, has said this sentence about, like, it's like, you're paying me this, but if I leave, you're going to pay somebody else that. So why can't I just get that? And that's what he's saying. And so based on that part of it, that to me seems like KU is saying, like, listen, man, we want you back, but we're not paying you starting center money. Like, we'll pay you a discount. You can come sit the bench and you can be the backup and play. Like, that's what the writing on the wall tells me. And, you know, if that's not the case, then KU just got a hell of a discount on a guy that, you know, if Paul, this is the way to think about it. Like I'm saying here, what if Paul Mbia was coming from NC State like he did the first time around? And they got him this offseason because they needed a center, they would have paid him $4 million.
Not if his production was the exact same as it was a year ago. I think you got to, like, remember his circumstances. One, he was behind Flory Badunga, who is as pure a college center and great defensive player of the year, was awesome. And was limited a little bit offensively. Mbia might end up being a better offensive player. He's not going to be as good defensively, but he's going to be better defensively than Bonk. He outplayed Bryson Tiller down the stretch. Bryson Tiller's a 5-star blue chip prospect who we were all in love with at the beginning of the year. Mbia outplayed him late in the year. Obviously, or Bill Self wouldn't have been playing him. So I think Mbia's got a chance to be very productive next year. I love when guys bet on themselves like this, which is what he's doing, because you're seeing an opportunity here if you're Mbia to stay at Kansas again, play for a coach in an offense that likes to feature the center, has to be as much as any coach in America, right? Like, the center is always critical for Kansas, always, for Bill Self. And so you're that dude. I don't think there's a plan to bring somebody else in to play over Mbia. They may need a backup, but if they bring in Bonk, he is not going to start over
Mbia. I'm telling you. He will be slated as the starter. I think you and I both think.
What the hell does that mean?
I think that they'd
game one.
I'm telling you that I think that the thought process, if they bring in Bonk, is that Bonk is going to be the starting center.
We'll ask Shreya Slada. I bet he will be.
I think that we both agree, though, that if Bonk comes to KU, like, Paul Mbia might be better than Bonk.
I think there's no might be about it. In the Big 12. In the Big 12. Bonk's a good player. I don't mean this to be a knock. They love him.
The portal loves him. He's the hottest name in the portal.
They love all these centers. Like, they literally love all of them. Yeah, which is NBA's agents, I think, or representatives, what they're saying. Like, what are we doing here? But when you score, what, 2 points a game last year? Like, what are you supposed to do? All right, we'll come back. We got more Sports Daily. Shreya Slada will help us with that later. Don't go away on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday.
Sports Radio KFH.
Listeners, I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. where people tell interesting stories about their family history, and then we investigate the truth behind them. Family Lore is available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Everything.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. On I-235 southbound, expect the usual delays moving onto K-96 east. The backup starts at 37th Street. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey, Wichita traffic.
Weather.
Good morning. Cloudy skies will eventually clear out this afternoon. Strong south winds, 15 to 25 and gusty, and a high of 73. Clouds come right back in tonight. Breezy and mild overnight, low 62. Clearing skies, windy and warm on Thursday with a high of 83, but thunderstorms are likely during the evening. Those could be strong, if not severe. Mostly sunny and really nice on Friday, high 77. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Right now, the Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
I don't think Joker wins another MVP. And it's not because he's not deserving. He's just not going to win it. And Wemby is on the way. Because I would be surprised if Wemby is not the favorite next year to win the MVP. Felt like it might be a little too early this year. He did miss games earlier in the season. He's wonderful to watch. We're lucky to be treated to some... These players, young players, now Joker's not young, but he's still doing things that nobody's ever done. Like when you hear that in any sport, when you go, well, nobody's ever done that. Okay, you got my attention. And I understand this because we do want a new topic. You know, the NBA writers are no different than me or you as a fan where you go, you know, we need a new story here.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
The commercials are over.
Yo, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
Thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program here on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Good opportunity to get out and play a little golf before we get some storms later in the week. And the best thing, TJ, is when you're out there, you can play. You got time for, I don't know, 6, 7 holes, 9 holes, 12 holes. Go get it done. They've got 36 to choose from. I'm going to try to play 9 today if I can get 9 in. So if you see me out there, wave, say hi. And if you're listening and you don't know and you want to go take a tour of the facility, go give them a call. Tell them we sent you. You won't regret it. Welcome back here to Sports Daily. We're talking a wide variety of things today. Let's go back to TJ, the Kansas City Royals, winners, finally winners over the Orioles last night. Looked like it was going to be a disaster from the start. Chris Bubich gives up a big home run early in the game, but he settled in, had a pretty nice game, pretty nice performance. He's getting traded, man. Don't you think? Like, the Royals need him to pitch well for a million different reasons. They need to win games. He's getting traded. I really think he is. Even if they're good, even if they're in contention. So it's good to see him. He's got a chance to be good. It'd be nice if they could extend him or something. I just don't think it's going to happen. He's going to end up being an expensive player. They get into the bullpen. You mentioned Matt Strom. He was not good today. Urcig was much better today. Mears continues to be pretty good. We saw Lynch yesterday be good again. It feels a little piecemeal right now. They need Estevez back. Not necessarily to close. If he closes, fine. They just need it back because they need arms back there.
Yeah,
for sure.
They do. I don't know. At some point in all the mess, obviously, it's an offense problem. Last night, the offense was pretty good. They scored runs.
It's an offense problem.
It's an offense problem. But in the mix of it all, like, we have definitely got a bullpen problem on our hands as well. And I think that you're right. It's probably due to being a little shorthanded. But I mean, the amount of – I'd have to pull it up. I wonder how many 8th and 9th inning runs that they've had. I know at one point this year, which I guess snapped yesterday, but at one point this year, the Royals were being outscored in the 9th inning like 25 to nothing or something like that. Like, yesterday literally could have been their first 9th inning run of the year, which may be true. That tells you about the back end of the bullpen, about what's going on. And it's weird because, as we keep saying, you know, a month ago we were saying we liked what they had cooking in the bullpen. And I mean, everything is kind of changing. Like Schreiber
injuries hurt that. I mean,
it does. But right now, it's been one injury though.
And it's been Schreiber being borderline unusable. Like, so now you're down.
What do you do about
two guys? Well, there's nothing you can do. You just hope other guys can pick up the slack. If we're being honest, and Ursic has blown the two saves, which has been not good, but it's the depth that might be saving them. Like the fact that they happen to have Mears is real handy right now. Strom, the fact that they brought him in, and he's had some bad outings too. But there's a difference, I think, with Strom and Ursic, who have had bad outings, but they still look okay. Whereas like Schreiber looks like he's just throwing batting practice up there right now. Lynch is going to have to continue to step into a bigger role. Like, I won't be stunned if Daniel Lynch is a closer before the end of this season, which would be a really cool development for him. He's thriving in that role. The problem is right now he's too useful doing what he's doing and helping you in the ways that he's helping you. But if they were a thin bullpen before the year started,
yeah,
I don't know what they would do.
I don't know. I think the Lynch thing is interesting because I agree that you don't want to take him out of his role that he can fill for you. But in the same breath, like, he hasn't done it so far because he hasn't had to. The starters have been able to go six every game.
Well, he went an inning and a third two nights ago. So I think you got to have that too. And I'm not sure anybody else besides he and Ursic are equipped for it. And look, Ursic's still pumping at 100 miles an hour at the end of games. So it's not like the Estevez issue where you're like, God, he doesn't have his best stuff. Ursic's stuff has been fine. He's just walked some guys more than anything. It's okay. Like of the concerns, the offense is far more concerning.
I agree. And like we've said, like, you know, we're drawing, you know, I don't know, drawing straws, I guess, or picking things to pick on. It's a trend. It's happened multiple times. That's a thing. But at the end of the day, like, we're asking the bullpen to give up zero runs. Like,
I know, right? Sure would be nice if they had a 3-run lead somewhere along the way.
If you know, Matt Strom giving up a 2-run home run is not the end of the world. It shouldn't be, but it is.
Like, every time they take the mound, it feels like the game is on the line. And that is unfair to a bullpen. Like, that's, I mean, no bullpen in the world doesn't ever give up, you know, anything. So I'm with you. They've got to just take advantage of their scoring opportunities better than they have.
Last night, which is kind of funny.
We're seeing some signs.
Last night was on offense. It's so funny. It was the inverse of Tuesday, it felt like, as it was, or on Monday, excuse me, is that Monday was, we got so many people on base and we couldn't score them for the life of us. And then the Royals last night was like, I think they had two or three sack flies. Like, they just weren't getting hits, but they're finding ways to score runs.
The Royals scored in 5 out of the 9 innings they played last night.
Yeah.
How about that?
How about,
right?
I'm telling
like,
you. The grass is greener today, people.
Yeah, it worked out for them.
The playoffs are on the horizon.
The playoffs were never not on the horizon. Look, the problem isn't the record yet. I mean, it is a problem, but it's not insurmountable, obviously, to be 5.5 games back in the Central. It feels like they're 50 games back in the Central because you can't see them. Like, it is so hard. It's painful to watch them underperform. And every time, every day it goes on, every bases loaded, nobody out situation, you're just like, is this going to get better? Like, is there better to have here? Can they do it? And that's where I think the panic has set in. Now, one win on a walk-off wild pitch when they almost blew it, runners at first and second, nobody out in the bottom of the ninth with the heart of your order coming up situation again. I mean, my goodness. Like, I'll say it again. And Vinny, you know, had an RBI last night. Can we please? You've got dudes that are being highly productive down there. Can we just for a game, one game, let's see what happens. Kyle Isbell has been nothing but productive. May not last all year, but he is right now. Can we lead him off and back Garcia third? Can we move Carter Jensen up and break up Salvi and Vinny? I don't like, why is it so hard to try something different? We're almost a month into this thing and we just keep seeing the same thing over and over. Like, how much do you need to see to know, at least right now, that's not working? And at some point, somebody's going to get hurt and you're going to get like, I have no doubt that in August, this is probably the lineup we're looking at. But until we get to August, weird things happen. Just do something else. Michael Massey is on fire coming back right now. Why not take advantage of that? And they did. They hit him. Where did they hit him? Sixth last night? Great. Yep. But you're willing to hit Michael Massey sixth, but you better not touch Garcia, Witt, Pasquantino, Perez, or Isbell. Don't touch them no matter what. Michael Massey, though, yeah, we'll hit him sixth. Sure. He's okay. Great. Take that same philosophy and apply it to the entire lineup. Drives me crazy.
I'm with you. Change lineup every day, but don't change the part that matters.
Well, don't change the part that's struggling.
Yeah, exactly.
Mess with everything else. But yeah, that one part that's been a real problem now, 25 games into the season, don't you got to leave that alone. Don't mess with that. But now the problem is, TJ, we come back to the, well, Salvi got mad at Q for benching. Like, you can't move Salvi out. He already got mad at him for benching. And that's where I have my concern. Yeah. Like, the fact that Quatraro couldn't just say, Salvi, you're taking a day off. The fact that I'm not completely confident he can't walk into the room and say, Vinny, you're not hitting three hole today. Salvi, you're not hitting four hole today. I'm worried about that a little bit now after what we saw over the weekend with Salvi and Quatraro.
Thought of the day I had over the weekend was, or over the past couple of days, Vinny's contract that he signed. What was it, like a 2-year deal, I believe?
I think so.
So I don't even think it cleared arbitration for him. I can't remember. But it, you know, we thought that we could have seen like a, you know, a long termish, you know, like 5-year type of thing. And you know, there was the talks about like, this is a prove it deal for both sides, isn't it? Like, this is the Royals saying like, we have Jack Haglione right there. Like, we don't need you that bad, but we really want you to work out and be good. And I think it's Vinny saying like, you don't want to pay me. Like, okay, I'm not taking a cheap deal. Give me 2 years and I'll show you what I'm really worth in a couple of years.
He knows, he's aware. I mean, we've seen him say these things on social media. He knows what the issues are, right? Yeah. He understands it, and so do the Royals. Like, Vinny Pasquantino, at the end of this 2-year contract, is going to be 30 years old and command, I don't know, on a free agent market, if he continues the trends he's continued in baseball, probably $20 million a year. Are the Royals with Jack Haglione there really going to want to pay Vinny Pasquantino $20 million a year? Because what we're seeing right now, that streakiness happens too often. Like, when he's going great, he's really good. But it's this weird thing where when the dust settles, you look at it and you're like, well, yeah, that guy deserves a big contract. But when you're in the middle of it, there's too much of this streakiness, I think. And he knows it. He said it. And the Royals know it. That's why they won't give him the big deal they've been willing to give other players. They'll be willing to give it to Jack Caglione. They'll be willing to give it to Carter Jensen, I'm pretty sure. Now, the price of that's going up too, though. Look at what these young star players are making across the league. Kevin McGonigal for the Tigers just got a $150 million deal. Connor Griffin, what did he sign? He hadn't even played yet. So the Royals are in this interesting financial conundrum. They've put everything behind Bobby Witt Jr. and they gave Mikel Garcia the big extension. Are you really going to pay Vinny Pasquantino $20, $25 million a year for the streakiness? I mean, you got him hitting three hole and he's hitting under 200 right now. This isn't the first time we've seen him be streaky. He's been streaky at lots of times in his career. Now, that goes both ways, because when he gets hot, man, when he gets hot, he is a run producing machine. But it's so hard to commit all the money into the middle of the lineup when it's not as consistent as it can be. So that's that prove it deal's right. He's out there to prove it. And right now he's not proving it. And he knows that. But his energy, his leadership, his personality, it are all the things you want to build around. And I think we all root for him to be great because he's fun to watch. And he's fun. He's a fun royal. He's a great example for you. But he's got to get out there and prove it. And right now this year, he's struggled to do that a little bit. All right, we got lots coming for you in the next hour. Headlines I missed. We've got Joshua Briscoe to talk draft. We've got Shreya Slaughter to talk KU in the portal. Don't go away. Jam-packed hour two coming your way on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday.
Seven five and 1240 KFH, Wichita, K248CY Wichita, KNSS HD2 Clearwater, and Odyssey Sports Station.
From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, don't worry about me, I called ART.
Traffic. There are delays on I-235 southbound, moving on to K-96 east. The backup starts at 37th Street. From the Accident Recovery Team Traffic Center, that's your Odyssey Wichita traffic.
Good morning. Cloudy skies will eventually clear out this afternoon. Strong south winds, 15 to 25 and gusty, and a high of 73. Clouds come right back in tonight. Breezy and mild overnight, low 62. Clearing skies, windy and warm on Thursday with a high of 83, but thunderstorms are likely during the evening. Those could be strong, if not severe. Mostly sunny and really nice on Friday, high 77. That's your forecast from Storm Team 12. I'm meteorologist Jake Dunn.
Basically, get out of the way.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan Patrick.
Yeah. Fernando Mendoza skipping the draft. Boy, I'd love to know what those conversations were like or how long those conversations lasted between Mendoza representatives and the NFL, because we're getting really close to the draft and you don't have the shiny object, the one shiny object there that you want, and that is Fernando Mendoza. I would say 95% are going to show up at the draft if they're the number one overall pick.
53% would go to the draft.
What?
Yes, 53% would go to the draft. That means, 47 would stay home.
I think my family would survive if I wasn't there to celebrate with them. I can bring them with me and they can sit in the green room. They're not going to have to wait long before my name is called.
The Dan Patrick Show.
Dan and the Danettes and you.
Middays from 11 until 2 on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 39179. Tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Tell your smart speaker to play 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.